turn once again to the book of Amos. Just to read some verses we read, but my desire is to end up on a high note for our hearts to be engaged with the Lord Jesus. But I would like to read verse 1 of chapter 1, the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And I would like you to hear, to highlight the earthquake. And when you go to chapter 7 once again, verse 14, then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I no prophet, neither I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit, and the Lord took me as I followed the flock. First Chronicles, chapter 12 and 1 verse, verse 32, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And the last verse I would like to read is from the book of Zechariah, chapter 13. And verse 5 and verse 6. But he shall say, I know prophet. Or I'm not a prophet, I'm a husbandman. For man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? And then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And thus far. I think we have heard very clearly today that Amos, as far as the meaning of his name, is a burden bearer. And there is no question that when God raised a prophet like this, he was pointing to men, the one who is the real burden bearer. Because one feels in a day of a conference like this, with many in attendance, many children of the saints, that perhaps not every heart and not every soul have committed their life to Christ Jesus. But the scripture tells us very clearly that the Lord Jesus himself said when he was here on earth, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. This is the real Amos that we are talking about. We were reminded how Amos was really pointing to Christ Jesus when he says, thou hast sold the righteous for silver. Amos has one thing before him, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus. So just from his name, if you are still without Christ, if you are carrying so many burdens because of sin, because of all the trouble that sin has brought into this world, I want you to be familiar that there is a Savior, there is a person who is the burden bearer, and this is none other but the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who closed the breaches, the one who stood in the gap. And how did he do it? He did it in his death on Calvary's cross, so that your soul, so that my soul can be redeemed, and so that whatever burden you might have in your life might be lifted up. Cast your cares. That word cares could also be translated a burden. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And my dear friend, my dear child, if up to 2018 you are still without the Lord Jesus Christ as the burden lifter, as the Savior of the world, as the Redeemer of your soul, tonight, perhaps this evening, God has said it so that you will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But when it comes to the prophetic part, there need to be something for us as saints. That this, when he introduced himself, he says that he's a herdman. And that word herdman is different than the word that is found in chapter 7. Chapter 7 is what we are familiar with. And we touched a little bit on it, but I like to dwell on it and compare it with 1 Chronicles chapter 12. That the prophet Amos was one who was acquainted with being a good shepherd. because he followed after the flock. And the beauty about the shepherd, it is always points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not only that the shepherd leads the flock, leads the sheep, and they follow after me, but how wonderful to know that the shepherd follows after the flock. You remember that in Psalm 23, when we are talking the last verse of it, mercy and goodness, what does it do? Shall follow me all the days of my life. When there is no weapon for the back, when we take up the armor of God, we thank God that we have a shepherd. Not only he goes ahead of us to lead, but he's also a shepherd that walks behind us to protect and guide. But that word herdman is mentioned twice in the scripture, and the only time in a positive way in connection with this man. And that is to mark out the condition, to mark out something, to be able to look at the affairs of the sheep. Sometimes we think of the shepherding work is that when the person leaves the meeting, or when the person goes into this backsliding area in his life or her life, right away we want to do the shepherd care. Well, sometimes it might be too late, you know. But this word that is before us, it was a person that could mark out, can detect the condition of the people in the present moment. He could tell that there is much spiritual poverty. He is a person that could mark out that the world is taking hold of the people of God. He can see it, he can see it, he can observe it, he can sense it within his own soul. And brethren, we are living in 2018, and may God raise amongst us those that will mark the condition that is amongst the people of God, so that there will be a real work of restoration, not only in the individuals, but also collectively, that there might be a sense of revival amongst the people of God. We need men that will be able to mark the condition, and not only mark them, but to be like the children of Issachar. They understood the times. And dear saints of God, if we are living in 2018 and we are not understanding the times we are living in, there is something wrong with us. Because the scripture says redeeming the time, because the days are what? The days are evil. And not only to understand the times. Dear brethren, dear parents, dear children, it is not only to have the sense of understanding the times, but what Israel ought to do. Let us look to the Lord, how we ought to raise up our children. Let us look to the Lord how we need to function in our local assemblies. Let us look to the Lord how to be good husbands. Let us look to the Lord how to be good wives, good sons, good daughters. This is very practical, dear saints of God, because there were men of Issachar that understood the times we're living in are extremely difficult. And if you don't think it is extremely difficult, you might be living in a different planet. It is absolutely difficult. And we need to look to the Lord to ought to know how we need to live in the present time we're living in. But here comes this man that after he presented the condition and he can mark it out, he brings these features of the Lord Jesus, and that's what I want to end up with. Because we can talk about failure, brother. I really believe we can sit here days, weeks, months and years, and we can talk about much failure that is amongst us. And also we can weep toward the condition that is amongst the people of God. And like Lamentation said, to lift up our hands on the behalf of our children, to look to the Lord for help, for guidance, for protection, because the days are evil. But he doesn't stop there, you know. He would say something that only one other person said. I am not a prophet. And I read the verse from Zechariah chapter 13. It is the words of the Lord Jesus in word of prophecy. I am not a prophet, but I am a husbandman. I am a person that is acquainted with the earth. And brethren, I just want to occupy our hearts for the last 5 minutes, not only with the weakness and the condition that is seen amongst us, but to be occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus Himself. The one who can come here, who can be a prophet like the Lord Jesus? He is the prophet of prophets. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the teacher of teachers. But in the setting of Zechariah, his ministry for the days of Zechariah, or when he comes to that scene of Calvary, I'm going to come to it, his thing was not that I'm going to be the prophet to bring the voice of God, but I am here as one who works in the ground, who is the tiller of the ground. You know why? Because of sin. When Adam sinned, it was recorded in the scripture, thorns and thistles shall come out of it. Why is the thorns and thistles? Because of the curse, because of sin coming into this world. And the result of sin coming into this world, there is thorns and thistles. So here comes the Lord Jesus in that scene of scenes. This is, behold, the Lamb of God that does what? The taker that takes the sin of the world. Where did he take it from? He took it from its roots. There is nothing left in it, although we are affected by it right now. Although we sense it, we observe it, we see the result of it everywhere we go. But as far as God is concerned, this is the Lamb of God, the taker away of the sin of the world. He has taken the sin from its roots. These thistles, these thorns, they have been plucked out. Why? Because He's the real husbandman. Here's the one that one would say, one would learn it from older brethren. We would never have dared, dear saints of God, to bring it into our own lips that Christ was made sin. If the Spirit of God did not record it in His holy word, who would dare to stand like this and to say Christ Jesus was made sin? Even when we rehearse the scripture, you tremble a little bit. Talking about the Son of God in humanity, when He was being the one who atoning for sin, that He was made sin. The only way that God could pluck the sin, can take it off its roots, it was through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has said, I am not a prophet, but I'm a husbandman. My mission is to deal with that question of sin for the delight of God, for the glory of God. Sometimes we say, well, you know, He's dealing with sin, and there's no sweet-smelling Savior. That's true. But treat the sin offering, dear brethren. There was a sweet incense to God. There was a sweet, something sweet to God. It's not the same words as the burnt, and as the meal, and as the peace, but there was something sweet in it. Why? Because of who is the person that was taking sin from its roots? None other but the Son of His love, the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, when He deals with the question of sin, I'm not a prophet, but I'm here to take sin from its roots. And then there's this question. By the way, what are these wounds in thy hand? Dear saints, I read this verse, what are these wounds in thy hands? Same words that he said, Amos, I'm not a prophet. Zechariah, in a word of prophecy, I'm not a prophet. One was a shepherd, and sycamore fruit likely brings this kind of fruit. One is a husbandman. But do you know the days he was living in, Amos? When you read the prophets, and the Spirit of God opens up with the name of kings that were dwelling at that time, pause. Because the Spirit of God desired to teach us something with the kings that were living at that time. Uzziah. Oh, did that which is right in the sight of the Lord. The heart was lifted up. Where did he mess up? He wanted to take the place of the Lord Jesus as the one who is the only one, in fact, who will sit upon the throne as what? As king and priest. Uzziah was a good king, but when his heart lifted up, he wanted to be a priest. And that wasn't his place. He was taking big steps that don't belong to him. Who belongs? Who's the right it is to sit upon the throne as king and as a priest? None other but the Lord Jesus Christ. There was leprosy in the forehead. Dear saints of God, be careful that sometimes we don't have like a sign and those clergy that will take the place sometimes of the Blessed One. But let us not in our own souls take the place of Christ in the midst of the company. Because where two or three are gathered to my name, there am I. It is all about Him. It's not about the brethren. So when we come tomorrow morning, dear saints of God, please. And when we encourage the young people, go to the meeting. Attend the meetings. Go to the prayer meeting and the Bible study and the ministry meeting and don't despise it. Regardless of who is bringing the word of God. Why is it? Because I'm not going to see the brethren. And until we take hold of that truth, that I'm not going to see the brethren, although I'm going to fellowship with them and partner with them to praise Him, but I'm going to meet the Lord. I am going to meet the Lord. And when it comes to this person, he really wanted to take care of the priesthood that didn't belong to him. Be careful, dear brethren, to go after a position that never belongs to you. Be careful. And the other person was Jeroboam. And I like it. We like the Jeroboam number one. Jeroboam number two. One is the son of Nebat. And one is the son of Joash. But you know what? There was something common amongst them. You know what it says in the scripture? That he did exactly. He caused the people to sin after the manner of Jehoshaphat, the son, Jehovah, the son of Nebat. The same thing. What did he do? He changed the order of worship. And brethren, if this is not the days we are living in, people are trying to change the priesthood, and others are trying to change the order of worship. But brethren, for us, if the Lord will give us breath tomorrow, before our feeble faith, Lord Jesus, show thy hands and thy sight. Oh, teach us thy searchless love to know. And dear brethren, what a privileged company we are. That we can leave a conference on Saturday evening. And we can be ushered into another meeting if the Lord would leave us here. And somehow to wonder and to wave it before God. What are these wounds in thy hands? What are these wounds in thy hand and feet, Lord Jesus? What are they to me? I don't know how many we are here. We're sitting here, we're sitting there, we're sitting in the middle. But how much do the wounds of the Lord Jesus mean to you? What are they to you? Just another day we came in Thanksgiving and we went through the ritual of coming to the meeting and we heard people praying. And probably we can quote them exactly. But is it a fresh occasion? Fresh occasion before the blessed God to come and be able to look upon these wounds. To be reminded afresh of His boundless love. These wounds, it wasn't only going to be seen by the remnants, you know. These wounds will ever remain with us through the endless ages of eternity. So that the marks of love will occupy us through the endless ages of it. If you need to prove how much Christ loved you, Malachi opens up, "I have loved you," said the Lord. You want the proof of it? Look at His wounded hands. Look at His wounded feet. Look at His side. And you will understand how much He loved you. So dear saints of God, the condition needs much help. The times we're living in, full of evil. But our praise and worship and adoration for this Blessed One who loved us and gave Himself for us should never change. We don't want ideas to alter the worship. We don't want ideas to for people to take the place of the Lord Jesus. All what we need is to be obedient to the Word of God and respond to the voice of holy love. Hymn number 431. The voice of holy love, that tomorrow morning we will hear His voice afresh. This do in remembrance of me, and to take a fresh occasion to look into the one who was the husbandman who took sin from its roots, and to take this fresh occasion to look once again upon His wounds. And it was said of the disciples, and the disciples were glad, for they had seen the Lord. And when you and I will go to the meeting tomorrow with the purpose of seeing the Lord, we will experience the same thing the disciples experienced despite weakness, despite the condition. We will experience the same thing. For we were joyed, we were glad, for we have seen the Lord. So brethren, I just wanted to bring us to our hearts to be prepared and to show it tomorrow by His help as we bring thanksgiving and adoration for the one who was asked the question, what are these wounds in thy hand? And one will trust that the thought of His wounds would remain with us from now, even till tomorrow. May I encourage the young people? You're going to have a young people meeting, and I believe and I know that the flavor of this conference will come with it, will continue. But when you go home tonight, don't let what you have gained from this conference disappear from your minds and hearts with idle things. If I can make a plea and beg, don't let the things when we go home, a show, a TV, a movie, I don't know what it is, cause everything we have enjoyed in the presence of the Lord Jesus be taken away. So may the Lord help each and every one of us, especially those, if you are unsaved, He's the burden lifter. He's the one who can bear your burden. And for those that are saved, may the Lord give us this anticipation that we're looking forward for tomorrow to once again make much of these wounds in His hands, feet, and side, and to declare the one who has loved us and gave Himself for us. And may it be so. For His name's sake. Amen.